Go ahead.
Hey everybody, welcome back. It's now February 25th, and today in your readings you read Leviticus chapter 12, 14, 15, and Numbers chapter 19. Now this is kind of continuing down the road of freaky stuff in Leviticus. And for my accelerator today, I'm going to focus in on two freaky things that you read about: leprosy and the red heifer. First one, leprosy. Now, I'll bet that some of you never knew before that there was a section of scripture that might be classified as a medical manual. We've just read one. By the way, the Hebrew word translated infectious skin disease in the NIV that you most likely read is more commonly translated as leprosy in older English versions, but it's a generic word for all kinds of skin diseases. Leprosy was the big one that they were afraid of, though, and they needed to differentiate between leprosy and the other skin diseases. Leprosy was one of the most dreaded diseases in the ancient world, and real leprosy was incurable, progressive, and highly contagious. That's the reason that anyone who had symptoms that might possibly be associated with the early stages of leprosy was immediately isolated from the healthy portion of society. The problem with the system, of course, is that rashes and skin anomalies can be caused by a myriad of other causes as well. That's why the instructions we read today include re-examination and even necessary steps to take if and when the symptoms disappear. Now, one of the things that might crack you up is that the Levites served the role not only of being the spiritual leaders, but also of the medical examiners who would have the authority to decide whether or not you were healthy, and they went outside the camp to do their examination of the people. Now, all through the Old Testament period, I'm sure, many Israelites who for a short time found themselves in isolation because of allergies, skin rashes, or temporary infections were restored to their families and clans by presenting themselves to the priest for examination and then undergoing the rituals related to cleansing and restoration. What I want to say to you, however, is that all through the Old Testament, no one who truly had leprosy would have been cleansed and gone through a cleansing ceremony. Leprosy was incurable. Once you had it, didn't have any hope. All hope was gone. You were an outcast for the remainder of your life. The only notable exception to that rule in the Old Testament was the Syrian general Naaman, who was healed at the word of the prophet Elisha. It's because of the regulations laid out before us this morning that when Jesus healed a man who had leprosy early in his ministry, a miracle recorded by three of the four Gospels, he commanded him not to tell anyone, but simply go and show himself to the priest. He was following the prescription of the Mosaic law. If the man reported to a priest in his hometown, as surely he would have to do, and the priest knew of his long-standing condition of leprosy, it would have created quite a stir, because everyone knew that leprosy was incurable. A miracle would have happened, and the priest would have been one of the key people to communicate the miracle of God. Jesus did the same thing later on when he healed the 10 lepers, a story that was recounted for us in the Gospel of Luke. Go back and report to your priest, he said. Well, the second thing I want to remind you of today related to leprosy is that leprosy was always understood as symbolic of sin. That's why the punishment for open rebellion against God was often that the sinner was stricken with leprosy. You'll remember this was the fate of Isaiah's king Uzziah and of Elisha's disobedient servant Gehazi. It also befell Miriam, the servant of Moses, when she joined in the spirit of rebellion against the Lord and against her brother, the servant of the Lord. You'll remember, of course, that after Moses' prayer on her behalf, she was healed. Well, the characteristics that I have already noted make it a symbol of sin. It was incurable. Once you had it, apart from a miracle of God, there was no way to help you. It was terminal. It always eventually led to the death of its victims. It was progressive. It killed you piece by piece, bringing death and dismemberment to every portion of the body in such a way that victims became increasingly horrible even to look at. It was highly contagious. It infected other people who got too close to you. There is no question about the fact that in a spiritual sense, sin is like that too. The uncleanliness that came from leprosy or a temporary infection that resembled it made its victim a social and religious outcast. Because he was out of and isolated from normal society, it was impossible to go to the temple. And if you couldn't go to the temple, you couldn't offer sacrifices. And if you couldn't offer sacrifices, you couldn't worship God. In this sense also, the type holds. For sin cuts us off from fellowship of the saints, but more alarmingly, it cuts us off from fellowship with God himself. It's debilitative. It's progressive. It cuts you off from God and cuts you off from people. Sin is an awful lot like leprosy, and that's why it too needs to be treated with such seriousness. Well, the other very interesting thing in this passage comes out of Numbers chapter 19. Now, I'm guessing by the time you got to this place in your reading, you weren't lingering over that, paying attention carefully to every details. But there was a ritual for cleansing from being exposed to death that I really want to discuss with you. Now, because human corpses were the most serious kind of pollution in the Mosaic law, they contaminated everyone who came near. Anyone who had contact with the dead had to stay away from the sanctuary and undergo cleansing. This type of cleansing involved a red heifer, a young cow. Now, I'm guessing that this one probably didn't grab your attention or your heartstrings right away and hold them hostage until your mind probed all of the significance of the matter. Am I right? I mean, I'm guessing you just read through this and go, oh yeah, right, another sacrifice, and you kind of went on to chapter 20. But listen to this. This is very cool. The red heifer described in chapter 19 is very unusual. It wasn't unusual because it was to be without defect or blemish. That was pretty normal for an offering. But after that, things start to sound a little bit strange. To begin with, this is not really a sacrifice. In fact, the word that's used to describe the killing of this animal is not the normal word for sacrifice. The word here used is slaughter. Interestingly, it's a cow, not a bull or an ox. And it's to be killed outside the camp and not at the holy altar. The blood is burned with the animal, and that's absolutely unique. It was never done in any other sacrifice. And though the priest is present, he doesn't lay hands on the animal to identify with it. A cedar wood, hyssop, and wool, all the things associated with cleansing, are thrown into the fire until only ashes are left. As a matter of fact, with this sacrifice, everything, top to bottom, winds up becoming ashes, and then the ashes become the focal point in a cleansing process. Mixed with water, the concoction is to be sprinkled on anyone who has become ceremonially unclean, so that the sanctuary of the Lord is not defiled by death or those who have touched death. The ESV Study Bible offered some more insight into the recipe that was used to make this cleansing ash. It says this, from the verse, a red heifer without defect, on which a yoke would never come, we understand this. Its youth, the red heifer's youth, shows its fullness of life, while its redness speaks of blood, the most effective agent of atonement. The redness of cedar wood and the scarlet that was thrown in the fire is also significant. Hyssop is something that was used in the Old Testament for cleansing. The same ingredients are used in the cleansing of a leper. So these ashes that are described as a sin offering, an offering designed to cleanse both the sanctuary and the worshiper, are significant in terms of cleansing and atonement. And those engaged in making the cleansing ash paradoxically incur a mild uncleanliness themselves. Now, I describe all of that in detail because once again, we see in the book of Leviticus a picture of Jesus. Jesus is the red heifer, or more likely, the red heifer is a foreshadowing of Christ. Like the red heifer, he's perfect without blemish. Like the red heifer, there's atonement that takes place. Like the red heifer, Jesus was crucified outside the camp. He was taken outside Jerusalem to Golgotha to be crucified. Like the red heifer, the ashes were used to cleanse those who had been contaminated by death, and Jesus' blood and broken body was used to purify all of us who were once contaminated by the death of sin. You may want to write this red heifer down on your Jesus Sightings page. Because once again, everything points to the purification and atoning power of Jesus. And the red heifer and leprosy are no exception to that. Take these with him and carry, or take these ideas with you and carry them in your heart as you approach this day with God. This is Mark Ashton praying God's best and his blessings on your life today.